Okay, well, let's begin and let's ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for a great time that we had last Sunday. Thank you for being in our midst. And we pray, dear Lord, that you continue to build the sense of bond that we can have with each other. We pray that even as we meet one last time for this half of the year, that you will bless this time of studying your word. And we pray that you continue to help us constantly refining our thoughts, helping us to see how we can live our lives better for you through the truths that we are learning from your word. And we pray that you will be with us in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we come to the end of chapter 5, and then we are moving on to chapter 6. We will probably try to finish this book by the end of the year, if possible. So we have 5 chapters, and then we have another 6 or 7 more to go, and then by then, hopefully, we will be able to finish this book. But I hope that you are learning important principles from this book about how we should live our lives, how we should learn to cope with all the challenges, the vagaries, the things that sometimes frustrate us in life, and then having a right perspective, learning from sometimes the bad example of Solomon, and then learning how we can have a right perspective towards how we can live our lives as best as we can, right? Now, today we're going to come to a bit more dismal observations that Solomon had. And then we come to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, we read of how he sees this as an evil which I've seen under the sun. Okay, so these are more dismal observations, right? There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now, the difference now is that he is seeing something that he recognizes that he sees a lot. This is something that is very common among the, you know, people that he see in their lives then. And again, he calls this vanities of vanities. He called this an evil affliction, right? This is truly an unfortunate thing that afflicts the soul. So he really tabulidahan. I mean, he looks at this and he finds it so hard to reconcile some of these things. Okay? Now, last week, we studied about how... Was it last week? Last week, right? Oh, it seemed like so long ago. Last week, we studied about how God gives us the power to eat, to enjoy the things that he has blessed us with. Now, today we see the opposite of it, right? And then in chapter 5 and in verse 19, he says that, you know, all the days of which God gives him, for the, every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, right? This is his heritage, to rejoice in his labor. Now, chapter 6, we see the opposite of it. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and even honor. Right? God has honored him. But, right, so he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Yet, God does not give him power to eat of it. Right, well, isn't this very frustrating? That you work very hard in life, that you have done everything you can to make a living, been blessed, you're given riches in life, even honor from God. And yet, you cannot enjoy it. You cannot eat of it. Huh. What do you think this is? You cannot eat of it. So, okay, here's a man and he lacks nothing for himself in his life. All that he desires, right, God has given to him. But God does not give him the power to eat of it. Right? What does this mean? And then he goes on to say, a foreigner consumes it. So he lacks nothing, yet God does not give it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity. It is an evil affliction. Wow. Okay, let's stop for a while. What do you think this is? Why cannot the person eat of it? He works hard for it, right? He does everything he can to gain all the riches in life. But then he cannot eat of it. He has no power from God to eat of it. Eat has two senses. One, to eat the food that you can enjoy. Eat as in to enjoy it. That's the idea of eat of it. Why can't he enjoy it? Then worse, a foreigner consumes it. Okay, let's talk for a while. What does this mean? What do you think it means? Okay, let's ask Chloe. Can you eat everything? You can't eat everything, right? Even though you're young. Huh?
Oh, like any food, is it?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't eat everything.
Why? Okay. Okay, like what? Maybe you can lighten us.
So like, example, I wouldn't drink like juice drink because it's all sugar.
Okay,
and
the one I know.
As
yeah.
much like juice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat like, I usually don't eat deep fried snacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like what? Deep fried snacks again?
Chips,
pisang goreng, is it?
Oh yeah, I also usually don't eat those.
Okay.
I eat more fruits nowadays.
What else not to eat? Poor thing. Okay, you have a cholesterol problem thing, right?
Yeah.
Does that inhibit you from eating certain things?
Oh.
No, you can't.
If I eat, it'll be like once in a
while.
Huh? I cannot say.
Advice. You're next. 40 mg, right? How much you take? 40 mg, right? Times 8?
8 times my dosage.
Yeah. I'm only 10 mg. Yours is 5?
Yeah, 5.
Okay. Oh. We're talking about cholesterol medicine. When you have high cholesterol, you have to take all these different medicine. So it's called statin tablets. Right? It helps to bring down your cholesterol. Okay? Yeah.
So maybe I wouldn't eat so much like butter.
Yeah, because of the cholesterol thing, right? Yeah. Okay, now we talk to Wei Han. How? You can eat everything.
Can is can.
But you actually try not to eat everything, isn't it? Why is your dosage so high?
Yeah, I kind of asked for it. I asked for it to be high. I think I was eating 20 only. And then it didn't come down as much as I wanted. So I just told the doctor, maybe we can try higher for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So your cholesterol is, you're born with it or your cholesterol problem or because of what?
Past 5 years, it went up. I don't
know. Oh, is it? Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's a bit of a genetic thing. La.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know.
Okay. So can you eat everything or you?
Doctor says no.
But you eat everything lah. Yeah, so okay, my point is because you have a genetic or some issue or maybe knowledge, so you can't eat everything, right? So you choose not to eat everything, right? But here he says a foreigner consumes of it. What does it mean? A foreigner consumes of it. What does that mean? How come the foreigner can consume it? What do you think? Okay, let's just try. Anybody want to try? Anybody want to just try and what's this? How come the foreigner is consuming it? He cannot eat it, but someone else can. He works hard for it, but he doesn't eat it. He doesn't enjoy it. Someone else will enjoy it. God doesn't give you the power to eat of it. Okay, let's ask Grace. What do you think? Grace is in trade industry, right? What do you think? Give you a clue already.
Something about trade.
Yeah. What do you think this is? Something about business.
That is unfair.
It's not unfair. It's just a. It's just a way of. It's a harsh reality of life.
I don't know that.
Okay. So one scenario that can come out of this is that a foreigner ends up purchasing a business. So here is Solomon. He has many business. He has many things that he can trade with. And then along the way, the business dealings go wrong. So he loses his money. Right? He gains his money, but maybe it's a downturn. There's some trade issues, problem. He has to sell his business to a foreigner. And this is something that happens quite regularly during that time. And so Solomon has many businesses, but then along the way, he had to sell some of them. You know, the riches that he has, I mean, he's still very rich, but, you know, a foreigner can consume it. Now, that's one scenario. Another scenario can happen is what we call a war situation. And in a war situation, what happens is that the enemy will come and he will loot the country, right? And your riches will be taken by the foreigner. The foreigner takes it away and he consumes of it, not you. You work hard for it. You do your best in life. You are honored and yet you are not blessed to eat it. You have no power from God to eat it. So what can we learn from this? How do we apply this? How would you apply this? Interesting, isn't it? That he will come out with such a thing like that. How would you apply it? How would you apply this? Okay, so God gives you the power to have riches, right? Last week we talked about that. God gives you the power to have riches. God gives you the power to eat of it. But then God also does not give you the power to eat of it. How would you apply this into your life? How would you look at this in life? In terms of work, because all of you are working, except for Beth, right? But it's a good lesson for her to learn now, while she, you know, before she starts work. All of you are working. How would you apply this to your life now? What do you think? Audrey, how would you apply this? Whoever looks at me and smile, I will ask you.
I still need time to think.
Still okay. Then don't smile, no. Keep smiling. Sarah, you wanna try, Sarah? What do you think it means?
It applies to us, isn't it?
Yeah. Power to gain wealth, power to eat of it. Power to gain wealth and yet not eat of it. How would you apply this to your life? As a person who is starting off in life.
I think just now because you gave the example of like the business deal falling apart or the economy crisis, right?
Sure.
I'm not sure if the correct application is like to not put too much focus on the maybe the wealth or the promotions that we can get, because it could potentially disappear very quickly.
Okay. Okay. So anything can happen in life, right? It depends on God. How God will allow things to happen, how God will bless, how God will not sometimes take that privilege away. Right? Okay, one last person. Anybody wants to try? Olivia?
Okay, I haven't started working yet.
Okay. Oh yeah, you haven't worked yet. Yeah.
But I was also thinking that maybe that it is within God's power to give and take away.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that perhaps our response should be to trust in like trust in his overall plan.
Sure.
That whatever whenever he chooses to give, whenever he chooses to take, it is
sure.
With a greater plan in mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, you can apply it that way. Okay, let me tell you how I apply this, okay? Don't take anything for granted. Don't take what God has blessed you with for granted. Okay, God gives you the power to gain something, a promotion, wealth, whatever. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that you can enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can. Don't, you see, a lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to work really, really hard now. I'm going to earn my, you know, 2-3 million, and then I'm going to enjoy my life. Don't do that. That's not wise. If you want to enjoy your life now, enjoy it now. At your level. Enjoy the life. So you work hard, you get promoted, you get a bonus, whatever, enjoy it. Enjoy the life that God has given to you, because you never know, the day will come when you will not be able to enjoy it anymore, right? The economy out there now is not doing well, okay? Everybody knows, everybody, and you know, people, you read newspaper every day, people are out of a job. Thank God that you have a job, right? And be able to have one, and to be able to earn money, to be blessed. You know what? Thank God for it. Don't take it for granted. Enjoy it while you can. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the journey. Don't wait until a time when, okay, wow, I have all these things, and okay, now is my time to enjoy. You wait until you are 55, 60, and then you want to enjoy. You have cancer. You have this. You have that. And God doesn't give you the power to enjoy your life. See, I'm learning from experience. I've learned from you know, the wealth of experiences that I have with people. I've seen through, you know, a lot of people, wow, they work really, really hard. Then they get retired at, you know, 60, 65. Want to go on holiday? Cannot, because the next moment, the person realizes, I have cancer. I have to go for an operation, and then I have to go for chemo. And straight away, the person's health goes down. And 1-2 years later, the person passed away. If you want to enjoy life, enjoy it while you can. Live your life well. Serve the Lord. Enjoy whatever you can. But of course, if we didn't, in moderation, okay? Don't end up, you know, to such an extent, okay, Pastor Mies, can enjoy my life. Why do you spend all your money? Don't save. I didn't say that, okay? Okay? Don't put words into my mouth. What I'm trying to say is that don't take anything for granted. Don't take your life for granted. Don't take what you have that you can enjoy now for granted. Right? I can't eat everything that I want to now. Right, I love to drink aerated water. I love Coke. I love gassy drink. I love Kickapoo. Have you all tried Kickapoo? It's basically like Mountain Dew. I love that. But I gave that up 10 years ago when I found out my dad had diabetes, and I'm also predisposed to diabetes. And I gave that up. I say, okay, enough, no more. I have no power to eat, drink of it anymore. And I won't. And I choose not to. And that was a part of my life when I was in the Air Force. My reward after a long day of flying and is a kikapo. Right? And last time when I was a young pastor, when I was 30-something, after every week, when the whole weekend is done, I will go to McDonald's and have an ice cream cone. Wow, that is my joy. Right? Or when, you know, in church, we have a Magnum. Last time we have ice cream. I don't really remember any of y'all. Yeah, we had ice cream. And you can pay $2, $3, and you go and take whatever ice cream you want. You know? And can you remember any of y'all? Yeah. So every Sunday after cleaning up, last time on Sunday, 3 persons will only clean up. Do you know that? Myself, Pastor Mark, and a pastor by the name of Pastor Ungyo, this Korean pastor. 3 of us will clean the whole fellowship hall, clean the kitchen, clean the boys' toilet, clean the ladies' toilet. Don't know why it's always very smelly, the girls' toilet. Don't know why, during then. But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, we will clean 2-3 hours, 10 o'clock we finish, and then I will enjoy your ice cream. But now I can't. I can't eat all the time. Right? So don't take anything for granted. You have youth, all of you. Enjoy your life. Because if you don't enjoy what you can, what's the opposite? You become miserable. Right? You become miserable with your life. You become miserable with work. You become miserable with many things in life. And that's, you end up with like Solomon. Right, this is an evil affliction. So what he's trying to say to me as I look at all these things is that don't take anything for granted. Don't take your life. Don't take Singapore for granted, for that matter. We're going to celebrate SG60, right? Don't take the life that God has given to us in Singapore for granted. When you compare yourself to Myanmar, to India, all of you have been given wonderful opportunities to learn, to be educated, to have many things in life that a lot of other people do not have. You know, don't take for granted what we have. And God has given us the power to enjoy all these things. You know, to me, I take my hat off to Mr. Lee Kuan Yew. The way God has raised up a man like him to come out with a country like Singapore is very, very unique. You go to America, you talk to, what's his name? Warren Buffett's right-hand man, Charles Mugen, right? He said that, you know, Singapore is a best example of how you should grow a nation. One of the countries that have excelled that others have not. So don't take for granted your life. Don't take for granted the power that God has given to us to live a good life, to enjoy. Right? And so when you learn how to see life like that, what is all the problems that you are facing in life? What is all the difficulties that you may have? When you look at all the things that God has given to you. Last week, you know, Pastor Stephen sent me, pictures of a wedding of a girl who has gone through so much. When she was a baby, she was born out of wedlock. You know, the mother basically abandoned her. Single parent took her, chucked her at the side of the road. And there was a poor family, husband and wife, we have no children, saw her, very poor family, took her in, raised her up. A few years later, her father died. Mother died. So the father raised her up. When she was 14 years old, Pastor Chris reached out to her in a village. And a few years later, her father died. And she was all alone. 18 years old, she was all alone, and Pastor Stephen said, okay, you know what, I'll try to look out look after you. Okay, and she did well. She went to uni. Basically, we all supported her, you know. And then she went to university, became a teacher, and she became to know the Lord, and she served the Lord. And along the way, she found someone, and they got married. You know, at a wedding, you know, people came. She's nobody, right? Husband, okay, not too bad in life. You know how many people came to her wedding? 1,500 people. 1,000, that's a lot more than some of our... I mean, most of our weddings don't have 1,500 people. So it's a testimony of how they have lived their life well. How God has blessed them. Right? So don't take for granted what God has given to you in your life. God has given you the power to enjoy many things in life. Right? You know, use it well. Use the life that you have well. Okay? Now, the next part it says, if a man begets 100 children, lives many years. How many children do you all want? Right? I'm sure you're going to get married one day. Have children. How many children do you want? Okay, let's ask the youngest. Beth, how many children do you want? Sorry, what? Not 100. Okay, how many? 3, 4, 5 basketball team? Water polo team? You know, I was talking to a mother once recently. Before she got a child, she said, I don't want children. Then she got a child. She said, Pastor Mitch, I want more. Very cute. She said, I don't want children. Oh, then she had this baby. Wow, they are so wonderful. I want to have more children. I want 3, 4, and 4 more children. Then I was like, no. Right? So how many children do you all want? Chloe, how many children do you want? Don't know. How many of you? Wow, your motherly instinct is very, very high. Anybody? Still? No. Audrey? Yeah, okay, let's ask Weihan. How many children you want? Weihan? Okay, 2. That's the common thing. Everybody, 2 children. Right? And so here a man begets 100 children, lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness. Indeed, he has no barrier, and I say that a stillborn child is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and his name is covered with darkness. Though he has not seen the sun nor known anything, this has more rest than the man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place. Wow. What is he trying to say? So now this is what we call a hypothetical question. A hypothetical argument. And almost like an exaggerated argument. Right? If a man begets 100 children, he lives many years. Yet his soul is discontented. He's not happy. Okay? He's not happy with the goodness of God in his life. Okay? So he says now, he talks about his soul. Okay, he talks about his soul. His soul is not satisfied with goodness. So there's a greater realization of the soul. It's no longer just the person. It is now he's referring to the soul. Okay? The soul is trying to meet the needs of, you know, his own soul with physical things. And you know what? His soul cannot see the Lord's goodness. And so he's not satisfied. He's not happy. The Lord has blessed him, and yet he's not contented. He wants more in life. Right? Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, we read of how a person who loves abundance is not satisfied with increase. So God increases, yet he's not satisfied. Okay? Indeed, he has no burial now. sure, along the way, he may be blessed with many things, but he cannot see the Lord's goodness. And worst of all, he dies without a proper burial. There's no proper sending off. In other words, he's forgotten by people. Maybe his family hates him. Maybe his family don't want to have a burial for him. Right? He earns a lot of money. He cannot see the goodness of God. He cannot appreciate his family. And so his family doesn't give him a burial. You know what? It is better for him, for this person, to not be born at all. It is better to be a stillborn child. You see the comparison? How grave it is. Not to be born at all. It comes in vanity, departs in darkness. In other words, he doesn't see the daylight at all. He doesn't have a name. There's a tomb. I was just looking at the internet. There's a tomb in America in the 1800s where the family just puts a tomb and just says, this is an infant of this person's name, this person's name, born this day, died the same day. In Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, sometimes when there's a burial, before we wait for the family to come, we will walk around and you look at all the different cemeteries, the tombstone. And there was one, I still remember, where they had the handprint of this baby. And they gave the name, and the baby was born this day, died the same day. So they put the footprint and the handprint of the baby onto the tombstone. I think it's very comforting when the parents come and then they touch the tombstone and then it can touch his hand and his feet. In America, there is this very special place. They call it the 30 or 60 section. There is this army cemetery that is a very, very honored, hallowed place. And the mothers will go there and see all their sons. And they will go and touch their name. And when they touch their name, they feel comforted just by touching the name. Right? When I die, I have no tombstone. Okay? My ashes will be thrown into the sea. I don't want people to visit me. You focus on the Lord, forget about me. Right? It's cheaper. Only $100. Really? It's like $100 only. Right? You can get a niche, like for my father, niche. You gotta pay $4,000-$5,000. And then 30 years time, you gotta pay another $4,000-$5,000. So before we die, we gotta pay, and then hopefully my nieces and their children will carry on. If not, that's it. You gotta keep paying, but even though the person died. So cheaper, throw my ashes into the sea. Remember, okay? If my brother's not around, everybody's not around, you're still around, and if I die, I want my ashes to be thrown into the sea. Okay, you tell the pastors, right? Nowhere else. Not in some garden or whatever. Okay? It'd be nice if you can take a helicopter flight and throw my ashes out somewhere. That'll be nice, lah. Huh? Yeah. No, lah. Where you pay $2,000? No. Rent helicopter, Okay, like one of you go and learn how to skydive and just throw. Okay? So that's the thing about life. Even if he lives 2,000 years, you know what? He does not appreciate the goodness of the Lord. So in the end, we all would die. Right? The point being is that what's the point of living? What's the point of being in this world if you really cannot appreciate the goodness of God in your life? And I think that's something that we should focus on. We should focus on appreciating God's goodness in our life, to be able to enjoy what God has given to us. So my last message to you, at least for this half of the year, is that don't take anything for granted. Don't take God for granted. Don't take His blessings for granted. Don't take His goodness to you in your life for granted. I mean, you can have everything in the world, and you know, there are a lot of people out there, and you have seen these people. There are a lot of people out there in the world, and they are not happy. They are complaining, they are upset, and they are angry with life. And you know what? They can't see the goodness that God has given to them. I think we should learn how not to take anything for granted. Don't take the life that God has given to you for granted. Don't take the power that it takes to eat. See, to me, this gives me another perspective of just the act of eating. That God gives you the power to eat, right? Elena, I'm sure you go to, you know, in a hospital, you see some people, they can't eat. They can't eat on their own. They need to be fed, right? And the hospital food is horrible. It's so bland, right? Have you tried hospital food? One day you should try yourself and see how bland it is, right? And wow, it's... And you know, you realize that these people, they cannot enjoy good food anymore because of the health reasons. Don't take anything for granted. Okay? Now, of course, there's a deeper need of the soul. Right? And his soul is not satisfied. So, okay, my question next is, how can the soul be satisfied? How can the soul be satisfied? How would your soul be satisfied? How can your soul be satisfied? What would satisfy your soul? Sil.
I think there's a prayer that the psalmist makes in Psalm 90 for his soul to be satisfied with God's mercy.
Okay.
I think one way is to ask the Lord.
Mm.
I think the means is out there.
Yep.
For us to be, we have God's word, we have the Lord Jesus, and a lot of times it's just a lot of distractions.
Yep.
And a lot of ideals also.
Yep.
Yeah, like I recently learned like that. If I think I have an ideal in mind that if I have this equals God is blessing me, then everything that falls short of that, I will not see it as God's blessing.
Ideal or ideal?
Ideal. Ideal. Like expectation.
Okay, yeah. Expectation.
If I am this, then okay, God is blessing me. I am satisfied and happy if I have this.
Sure.
And then if anything else is not that, then I miss the satisfaction that, or the gift that God has given to me.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that is one barrier to satisfaction.
So this is a wrong understanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. We all have ideals in life. And we think that if we do not achieve the ideal or we do not meet the expectation, we are not meeting God's plan. Or whatever. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, or the other way around. So like, if I don't have this, then God is not blessing me. As in, we don't say that. Like, I don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
But in my head, it's like, only if I have this, then I will feel happy or I feel blessed.
Sure.
Yeah. So anything that falls short of that, I don't seem to find that I'm satisfied or I don't seem to find that I'm happy with God, with what God has given.
Sure.
Yeah, if it's not that thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Subtly.
Okay. Versus what? Versus... being happy, being thankful for what you have.
Yeah, being content with
what
anything what anything that God has given, because everything that He gives is His gift.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, good. I think a lot of us have ideals, right? Or even human expectations, right? And then along the way, we try to meet these things, and if we don't have these things, that's not God. Like, no, to me, I think in life, we live our lives as best as we can. We work really hard. Whatever God blesses us with, right? We should be thankful. We should be, you know, we don't take them for granted. We see this as you know, God's goodness in our life. And everybody's different. Everybody will have different things in life. Some will have more, some will have less. Some will have more children, some will have less. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's about your life. It's about how you can be thankful and appreciate the goodness that God has given to you at every stage of life. Don't wait until this happens and that happens, then you are appreciated. No, to me, it's about being able to see God's hand at every stage of your life. Sure, we all got to work for it. So you just started working, how many months? 4 months, yeah. I've worked 40 years already. Right, nah, no comparison. Anyway, I mean, to me, it's just how you want to live your life. And how you want to bring God into the picture. Okay, that's one thing. Anything else? How does the soul learn to be satisfied? What satisfies the soul? How is your soul satisfied? Eating nice food, playing a nice game of pickleball. What? What satisfies your soul? Mason?
I think like when I wake up each day and the desire to take up the cross and to follow Christ, I think that sort of desire satisfies my own soul.
Okay.
Yeah. When I, sure. How you say it, like have the desire to know more about God and His Word, I think yeah, that satisfies my own soul.
Yeah, you talked last week about what comforts you coming for YAG, right?
Oh yeah.
What was it? Comfort? Go-to comfort thing. Okay. Yeah, YAG, great. I'm glad you're here. Right. Hey, okay, one more person. What satisfies your soul? Who have I not asked? Gibby?
I think rather than like a tangible or like intangible thing, like yep, one object or whatever, I think it's like having the right perspective.
Sure.
Like similar, I mean, I guess if it's similar to ideals and expectations, but a bit broader, it's just about like even when challenges come or yep, like difficulties are met, like the perspective that I have of it and okay, whether the focus is
so on what helps you to see things correctly? Okay, what is it from God's Word that helps you see things correctly? Yeah, we all know it's God's Word, but what is it? What is it that? What is it? I tell you one of the things that I look for that satisfies my soul, that brings a lot of satisfaction, is enlightenment. Okay? I am enlightened. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 63. So Psalm 63, as we all know, it's about how we can find how the psalmist thirsts. He's thirsting after things in life, right? So in Psalm 63, we read, so he's in the wilderness. He's in the physical wilderness, but he is also having spiritual dryness, right? And I think that's something we all face. Now, he says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Now, the thirsting of the soul affects him physically. To such an extent that his flesh, his physical, longs for God. You see the connection? The soul is dry, but the soul now affects him physically, that gets him going, that gets him to seek the Lord. His flesh is now longing for God. See the connection between the soul and the flesh? Right? You can have a thirst for the soul, but you can just stay there and not do anything. But he is responding to the thirst of his soul. He's allowing the thirsting of his soul to affect his flesh. And now his flesh is longing for God. Okay, see how he's responding? Right? And he's responding, and so he longs for God. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, there's this tremendous dryness that is there. You go out now every day in the weather, it is so humid. Right? It just suck the life out of you. You go to the bus stop and, you know, sometimes, okay, after church, okay, half day, I finish what I need to do, then I gonna take the bus. I go out there and wait for the bus for 5 minutes. I say, what kind of heat is this? It sucks the life out of you. Right? You just sit there, my goodness. You know, it's really, really, the humidity is overwhelming. Right? I don't know whether that's how you feel when you go out nowadays. Super high humidity. And, so this is super dryness. And he says, okay, you know what? I will look for God. So I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. So he desires, he knows. He knows that what is going to satisfy his dryness, his spiritual dryness, is that he wants to discover God. He wants to discover something new about his power, about his glory. I tell you what has been feeding my soul, what has been causing me to find a tremendous sense of satisfaction, joy, life, is when you discover things from his word again and again and again. When you read his word, right? And it feeds your soul. It satisfies your soul. Right? So yesterday I was at Coffee Bean. And sometimes I get out of the house because, you know, sometimes you spend too long. I just need a change of environment. You know, and when sometimes you have a change of environment, it helps you to think in a different way. So I was at Coffee Bean in the afternoon. I was in there in the evening, and I was just going through some stuff, preparing for this whole weekend. And as I was sitting there, I like this high chair that they have. It suits me very well. I can spend hours just sitting there and no problem at all. And I was sitting there, I was having a cup of chamomile tea, I had some nuts and fruits that they sell, and I was just staring at my computer, looking at the lessons. I had four things to teach this weekend. And I just found a tremendous sense of joy. Just sitting there, in the midst of hearing people complain, there was one husband and wife complaining about the wife was scolding the husband. And then there was this couple talking to a man who was trying to get them to invest in something. And then there was this guy this lady who was trying to calm down the one of the sons who was screaming away and talking. Oh, in the midst of all that, you know, I just felt a tremendous sense of peace and joy, just focusing on the Lord and just discovering things from His Word. And I felt at that moment a tremendous sense of love. That's why He says, your loving kindness is better than life. Right? There comes... So He was looking for power and glory, but what He found was loving kindness. That love from God. Can you see? And there's so much to discover about God and His love. And that brought a tremendous sense of satisfaction to his soul. Right? So the soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for you. And then in verse 5, he says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. With my mouth shall praise you. You and with joyful lips. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you. And there comes soul fat, you know, a fattened soul, a soul that is so rich and rich that he can't help but praise God. You see, when you want to praise God, you should give him, you know, worship, praise from a soul that is so enriched. It's called a fat soul, right? A soul that is enriched. And, you know, you can give thanks to God. You can give glory to God, right? Well, last weekend was quite a challenge for me because I had 5 messages to give. 5. First time, one weekend, I had 5 messages to give. So I had to, so there's YEG, and then after that, there was Sunday school, and then I taught at Chinese worship service. Wonderful to teach there once in every 2 years. Right, so I told the Chinese people, you know, last time I was here was 2023, 2 years ago. And then at the end of the message, I say, I will see you in 2 years' time. Right? And then, okay, after that, then, you know, it was the evening, I gave a word as well. And then the next day, I had to, you know, conduct a funeral. Right? I was speaking at a funeral. So it was 5 things that I needed to do. And then after that, we had, you know, a bit of lunch with the family. And then we went for another week. And this time it was Vanessa's father's brother's wife brother's funeral. Okay? So Vanessa's father is Henry. Henry has a brother named James. And James has, the wife's name is Angie. So Angie's brother passed away. So he was only 56. So we were there. And that was already 3, 4 o'clock. Whole day, whole weekend, whole day. 3 o'clock, we went to the wake. And then the daughter had so many questions to ask. So he was answering Pastor Mark's question. So many questions to ask. Wow, one question after another. So he was answering. And I was talking to Angie, had a good time talking. And then, wow, half an hour went to 45 minutes, 1 hour. So, okay, it was time to go. So we were about to get up. So we got up from our chair. Then she said, I have one more question. Then we sat down. Okay, we sat down. And she asked the question. Okay, then Pastor Mark answered. Wow, 1.5 to 15 minutes. Another 15 minutes. And by then, I tell you, I was exhausted. I was quite tired already. So then I look at him, he looked at me, okay, let's go. So we got up, second time. I have another question. I say, oh. So I prayed, Lord, grant me grace and strength. And I was glad. You know, I somehow found the grace and strength. And then she asked a question. 1.5 hours of answering questions, which was very good. I think we really had a good time trying to minister to this person. And after that, we went home. Pastor Mark asked, do you need a lift back? I said, yeah, definitely. So he gave me a lift back. And then at the end of it, we say, wow, that was a good day. That was a good day of serving the Lord. Right? And my soul just thank God. My soul just praised the Lord with joyful lips. It was a challenging week, but you know what? I was just so thankful for it. Right? And we must learn how to give thanks to the Lord from the soul. Okay, last 15 minutes. What can you be thankful for this first half of the year? What is it that God has laid upon your heart, you know, and it is something that you can be thankful for? All of you. Name me one. What is it? And then we will sing one last song. We'll sing one song. How great is your God. Right? Audrey, what is something that you can be thankful for God's goodness in your life? Yeah, name me one. Of course, many things.
It's hard to begin.
Your job?
Yeah, like really everything.
Everything, yeah. Okay. Everything. Thank God for everything. Cannot follow her. You cannot say everything. One thing.
Subset of everything. Friends and family.
Okay. Friends and family. Thank God for them.
Very thankful that I got to go for family camp this year.
Yeah.
For a time of...
First time, learning. Right? First time in a long time.
Yeah, in a long time.
When was the last... Did you ever go?
2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you had a good time learning there?
It's good to be in the with the main message group.
Yeah. Main message group. Okay, Grace.
I think for growing through work and ministry.
Okay. Yeah, in what way? How have you grown?
I think like challenge at work.
Sure.
And then by learning to apply faith and to do things in excellence. Yeah, and then I think for ministry, I've just been reflecting that what has been, like Ollie and I, has been like, it's our third year teaching in JSS.
Okay.
And I think, wait, I thought I just started, but evidently no, it's been 3 years. So I think I took some time to reflect in like how I've learned a lot from the girls, learning sure. to relate to them, but also I think learning from the word myself, like even as I prepare each week. Sure. And how do I like refine and how do I relate and to teach them better.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I see them following you around. Yeah. Like some mother goat, you know, then the children.
Thankful for my new job.
Yeah, good. Well, what about the new job?
I get to work from home next year onwards.
From next year onwards, you get to work from home? Next week onwards?
Just under my probation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then no need to go to work anymore?
No, I got work from home 2 days.
Okay. Yeah, good. Well, happy for you.
Thankful for the life in Singapore.
Yeah, well, thank God, right? Singapore, better than Malaysia. Huh?
next time.
Yeah, getting married soon. Yeah, you should be thankful now. Yeah, anything? Yeah.
For answering my prayers.
Answering your prayer? What prayer?
With regards to work, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about?
Oh, I shared with you last week. So.
Yeah, I shared with everyone. Right. Good news.
No, the context is just that I was feeling a bit stagnant and I prayed to God. Good thing is that the Lord answered. Bad thing is that I couldn't find stillness. So, in between there, my prayers do. Learn to find God when external circumstances are not so conducive to quietness in my own heart. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, keep discovering, right?
opportunities to learn.
Sure.
Yeah, I think learning has been different for me in year two because it's very self-directed and you really don't know whether opportunities will present themselves.
Sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, good. Keep learning. Find opportunities. How? The baby of the group.
Thankful that the Lord has seen me through uni.
Yes. And you're done already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Welcome to the jungle. Okay, when do you start? Okay, well, enjoy your one last month of freedom. Okay, good. Do you know which school? Are you going to NIE? Or?
I'm going to school first.
Okay. Primary, secondary, JC?
Secondary.
Okay, good.
I'm thankful to God for providing me with this job.
Yeah.
And like the peaceful and like nice working environment there.
Yeah. Yeah, good. That was an answer to prayer. You were praying for quite a while. Yeah, good. Thank God. Let's be thankful, right? For every blessing and thing that we can see His goodness in. Okay, next.
First, I want to give thanks to have my faith real.
Yes.
And also
your baptism, wonderful.
And so preservation of like physically, like mentally training for marathons. Like God has been really protecting me so that I was not injured. Like it's very often you will run into injuries.
Sure.
In like training or preparation. So far so good. Yeah. And also mentally also preserving me for not breaking.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Maybe. Yeah.
Thank God for the many lessons that He has taught in the first half of the year. A lot of changes at work. Very busy first half of the year, but many, many lessons that have been learned. Thank God for that.
Yeah. Keep learning these lessons. Okay.
I thank God for the smooth transition from my previous job to my current one. That one door closes, but another one opens at the same time. So it's very good. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And we were talking about going to your restaurant, right?
Yeah. 50% off.
50% off.
Yeah.
Next one. Huh? Okay. We plan for it.
Sure.
Is there any exhibition hall somewhere or some museum or?
No.
Where's the restaurant?
Got 6 outlets.
Where's one? Where is? What mall?
Woodleigh Mall.
Woodleigh Mall.
Yeah, Woodleigh Mall.
Ah, okay. What's the restaurant again?
Brewworks.
Brewworks. Brewworks. Okay. It's a German.
No. Casual Western. Modern Asian Western.
Okay. Can. We'll plan something. Yeah, Lori?
God's mercy. Yeah.
Yeah, in what way?
I think maybe in my line of work, I see a lot of I see the ugliness of human nature.
Sure.
So that the Lord would save us from that is something that I appreciate at a different level now. Yeah.
Well, thank God He makes all things beautiful, right, in our lives. The world is filled with many, many ugly things. But thank God we have a God who makes all things beautiful, isn't it?
For me, it's rest and renewal. So I feel that the past few months I've been in posting whereby I could have most of my weekends off, so I could have time to attend church and be more regular. So I'm grateful for that. Yeah.
Good. Don't take anything for granted, isn't it? Right? Just to be thankful for all that we have. Now let's go back to Psalm 63 and then we'll... In Psalm 63, we read, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." And ultimately, so the soul thirsts, the soul is satisfied, the soul now follows close behind God. He seeks to walk closely with God. right? So the soul thirsts, the soul is satisfied. A lot of people just ends with satisfaction. I'm satisfied, I'm happy, that's it. No, I think it should draw us closer to God. It should drive us to walk behind Him. And He will uphold us, right? Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. He finds a tremendous sense of joy. I find a tremendous sense of joy in God, in serving Him, in living for Him, in going through all the challenges of life, right? And along the way, I see the Lord's hand of blessing. I see Him being there every step of the way. And I want to follow close behind Him. I want Him to uphold me further. Can you see? And so our response is, let's draw closer to Him. Right? As the soul is satisfied, don't just stay at status quo. Draw nearer to Him. Follow close behind Him. Right? Follow Him in a way where He leads, where He guides. And then we can develop a closeness with Him. See, ultimately, what does God want? He wants us to be close to Him. He wants our soul to be close to Him. So that's my last word for all of you. Don't take anything for granted in this world. Right? Learn to appreciate the goodness of God. But ultimately, let's follow close by Him, to Him. Next 1 month, some of you will be going away. Some of you will be, you know, doing your own stuff. Take the time. Use the time to draw close to the Lord. Okay? To me, that's the greatest satisfaction in life, when you can sense the very presence of God in your life. Okay? Now, we're going to sing a song, my favorite song. One of my favorite songs. Before we go,